All right. Thank you, folks. Well, we've got our missionaries with us this morning. We appreciate the men that work with Helps Ministries. Of course, Brother Scotty Drake is here as one of our church members and greatly involved in getting started this work we call Helps Ministries. What I like about it is they go to the mission field right where the tire meets the road. They know what's going on. They work with these men in their home countries. And we appreciate the men that are willing to give up their time, leave their families, and come over here and share with us. If you were with us Wednesday night, we had a great service here as they shared so much of what was going on with them. And this morning, because of the limitation of time, we're going to have to hear for them kind of briefly. I'm going to ask Brother Mormon to come up. He's staff with Helps Ministries, and he kind of chauffeurs these guys around and keeps them up. And so, Brother Mormon, I want you to start introducing our missionaries to us this morning.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Carter. First of all, we have Joseph, and he is from Kenya. And many of you know Brother Peter from India, or Stephen, I'm sorry, Stephen, and then Joseph from Kenya, both these men from Kenya. And then we have Brother Chad from the Philippines. So we'll take them in reverse order. So, Brother Chad, if you'll come and take just a few minutes and tell us a little bit about what God's doing in the Philippines.
Good morning. I'm Chad Mahinay. My family name is hard for you to pronounce, but it means Low, so you can call me Pastor Slow. It would be okay. I got saved. There are two missionaries that was used in my life and my family's life for my salvation and also training in the ministry. They are missionary Fred Null and missionary Bob Hughes. And they have been a great blessing and a great influence in my life and my family's life. I happen to grow up in a Christian home. I thank the Lord for parents and father that love the Lord and mother that serve together with the Lord. My father happens to be a pastor. So I grow up basically in the ministry and involved at an early age, a privilege to be in the ministry at an early age. But I got saved in the Sunday school class. One time, a Sunday school teacher shared about the Word of God, specifically the subject about hell. And I was so afraid with that word. That's why on that day, I want to make sure I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. And I know one day when the trumpet will sound, I will be in glory land. During the time, I went to a youth conference. And there was a preacher that speaks about the book of Isaiah, whom shall I send? And I go for whom shall I send? And I said, Lord, here am I, send me. Surrender my love to the Lord and went to Bible school where missionary Bob Hughes started in Cebu. Was there for 3 years. And after graduation, I went back to my home church and worked with the home church with my father. Basically, we worked together. And then my father was promoted to Glory Land in 2007. And then I also got the promotion to be the pastor of the church for 12 years now. I am in the islands in the southern part of the Philippines. There are 7,600 islands in the Philippines. And I do believe there are more during low tide. And across our city are islands. And there are people there that are living. Some are 2 minutes away, 8 minutes away, or 10 minutes away. Some are 3 hours far away in the vast Pacific Ocean. And those people that are living there are mainly Catholic. Some are Muslims also. And they need the gospel. There is one particular place in that island that I always challenge me. It is called the Philippine Deep. The Philippine Deep is the second deepest part of the ocean in the whole wide world. Every time I would pass by that place, it challenged me because my sins is already covered by the blood of the Lamb. Whatever happened, I will be going to heaven. But on the other side, there is a far bit deeper place that man will go, and that is hell, and they will be there forever and ever. So every time I pass by, it always a challenge to me to reach out and preach the word of God to that island. Presently, there are already 5 churches that were established since 2010, and we have also 7 mission works that is presently doing there. And I know I cannot do it alone on myself. That's why I started a Bible school, a church-based Bible school in 2010. And then we have 25 students presently in our Bible school. And praise the Lord for what the Lord has been doing. My wife's name is Diane. I have 2 girls, Angel and Lois. And praise the Lord for this church. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chad. Brother Joseph, come. He is from Kenya, down on Lake Victoria, one of the largest lakes in the world.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church. My name is Joseph Njega. I come from Kenya. I have my wife and five children. My life, I grew up in a non-Christian family. My parents were not churchgoers. I live in southwest of Kenya, near Lake Victoria, very far from our capital city, Nairobi. This place, people are very poor. We have little rain in the region. So young people are just running away to the capital cities so they can seek for a job. When I lived there, in Kenya, Kenya is a big country with 43 different dialects. And in Kenya, all dialects, they use their mother tongue. In the region where I come from, I have my dialects. And every time you reach to a certain group, they speak their dialects. But in Kenya, we have two national languages, Swahili and English. So which we learn in school, we communicate in Swahili and English. In my back down country, my father, they used to worship idols. They were not even going to Catholic. They depend on witch doctors. When somebody's sick, they have to go to witch doctor. That kind of life was scaring me so much. And I did not have any hope in my life. At the age of 24 years, I was running away from the village to go to our capital city, Nairobi, to seek for a job. There in Nairobi, I met American missionary in the year 1984, the month of April 26th. This missionary, Lonnie A. Brooks from America, a Baptist preacher, led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was going simple way of salvation according to Roman road, the Holy Spirit convicted my heart, and that was the moment I realized that I'm a sinner, I need Jesus Christ to come into my heart. So I was saved. When I was saved, I got a call, and a call was to take me back. I have a burden to go back to our village. In the village, I went back. I faced strong opposition because these people were expecting that I have a news of a job. But I went back with the Holy Word of God, King James 16:11, to preach in the village, to give testimony. And that's how I come to plant a Bible Baptist church in that region, in that year. So, as I continue serving God with strong opposition, with hardship in that area, the Lord opened my way, people were being saved. I thank God for that, in that hardship. And as we continue, people are walking very far to come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in the village. After a period of time, when I was serving in that area, in the year 2005, I joined Help Ministry. I thank God for Help Ministry, and it found when we already established 13 local churches in different areas within the Lake region. So as we joined Help Ministry, the Lord laid a burden into our heart to start a Bible school in that area. Because no way these people can go very far. They have their families, their wives and children. They cannot go to Nairobi to have a good training in Bible school. We have that. And we are training these men. We have done two graduations in that area whereby we are able to plant 63 Baptist churches. Some of six churches are in the islands of Lake Victoria. This is my prayer, Church. Pray with me. We thank God for this nation, for sending missionaries. And here we are We are your reproduction, sharing our testimony. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you.
One of the reasons I'm here doing what I am doing is because these guys are the real guys planting churches, reaping great harvests of souls. And one of your graduates, I think many of you have probably heard him since he's been here the last couple of days. Come, Brother Peter.
From India.
Thank you, Pastor, for this wonderful opportunity. I'm returning here after 10 years. 2008, I graduated from here, went back and preached the gospel, and also planted several churches. So thank you, Pastor, and thank you all the church for praying for me. And also I'd like to thank most of my professors are not here, but like Dr. Bradley here, and Dr. Pete, Dr. Nixon, and also Dr. Herring, he is no more. They are one of the people who impart the truths in my life. And also I thank God for Gospel 90.3. Whenever I go to those Himalayan mountains, I'm discouraged sometimes, but I just on my data and listen to this Gospel 90.3 on all those Himalayan mountains, and that encourages me a lot. Thank God for these kinds of ministry that speak and send a message all over the world. Okay, well, I'm born and brought up from Far East India, just between China and India. India has a lot of people, 1.3 billion people. China has 1.4 billion people. We are just dividing these two great nations by the small nation called Nagas. We are Nagas. That's why I don't look like Indians. So gospel came to Nagaland not many years ago. So our people were headhunters. And then our people started evangelizing the gospel actually in 1952. I read the history. And then from 1952, our people, headhunters, former headhunters, started preaching the gospel. And then 1987 was the last time they stopped headhuntings. So gospel went into all the areas of Nagaland and Naga Hills. And then these people, in 50 years' time, they have turned their whole Nagaland in upside down. Means everybody became Christian. So there are hundreds and thousands of Baptist churches in all the streets. I believe every half a mile, there are big Baptist churches all over Nagaland. And all these churches are sending hundreds and thousands of missionaries to South China, Tibet, Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, and also Burma, Bangladesh. So one day as I was also growing up among the headhunters and all human skulls hanging around the houses, I was scared. It was scary. And my father all the time say that somebody can take your head anytime. So you have to be prepared to take someone's head, or you have to prepare give your heads to someone. So that was the culture in our place. But 2 May 1992, a preacher came and preached the gospel. That was perfect gospel. That Jesus came into this life and lived a perfect life and died for your sin and for our sin on the cross of Calvary. And he rose again from the dead. And that message changed my life. I received the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. And I went to Bible school. And then went back to do the ministry. So the Lord is helping us to start 2 Bible colleges and also church planting ministry. So far, 42 Baptist churches we have planted. And also 154 house churches in southern China we have planted. So the house churches, sometime house church is 50 members, 70 members. So quite in a small room, you know, many people squeezing together and worship God for 3 hours, 4 hours, listening to God's word. So thank God for this. And also we are transporting and smuggling Bible into China, Bhutan. These people say that they are close country, but we are taking Bible into many boxes and giving them. So monks are turning to Christian and missionary. So please continue to pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Peter. Brother Stephen. Come, brother. He is from Kenya. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. This is my first time to be in the U.S., and I thank God for his grace upon my life. My name's Stephen Mudogo, Mudogo meaning little in my dialect. And I believe when I was born, I was just that little boy, but today I'm the tallest in the family. And I grew up in a Christian family where my dad and my mother were both Christians. But unfortunately, I never knew anything about salvation until the age of 14 years. That was in 1984, August, when I met with national pastors and missionaries from America who had visited our village. So they took me through the plan of salvation. They read to me the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I mean, when I realized that going to church was good, but I was missing something special in my life, and this was Jesus Christ. So I had to confess my sins, and I gladly received Jesus in my life as my personal Savior and Lord. And until today, he has always been guiding my life. So from there, I went on loving the Lord until the year 2007. After working a little bit for my country for some few years, since 92 to 2007 when I was laid off, and then I decided to join full-time ministry in a ministry whereby we would serve the Lord until he comes to take us home. And so this is the time, 2009, I decided to go in my village, preach the gospel, and we started our first church in our village in 2009, September, called Bible Way Baptist Church, which is my sending church. But we have had challenges in life as Christians. I'm married to my wife, Catherine. We have no child for the last 12 years, not because she's barren, but because of the challenges from Satan. She conceives, but she's not able to keep the pregnancy. But all these challenges in our life has not been able to make us quit serving the Lord. So we keep on serving the Lord. So far, from that one church in my village, Bible Way Baptist Church, we planted three more churches in western side of the country, Kenya. And God moved me to Uganda, across the country, and where I went in 2007, having been healed from diabetes after being bedridden for 5 months. And then God healed me, brought me back to life so that I would send his gospel to many lost souls. And so in Uganda, God has enabled us to plant 10 churches. And God moved me even further to South Sudan, where we have fightings. And because of the courage he gave to me, we've been able to plant 2 churches inside South Sudan. So it is my prayer that you continue praying to us that we may continue going out, reaching many for Christ, because every Christian owes the gospel of Christ to the lost souls. God bless you as you continue praying for us. Thank you, church. Thank you, pastor, for giving us an opportunity just to share what God is doing for us in our countries. Amen.
They have another missionary, too, over at the Spanish class this morning. I hope you were getting that. They're starting a lot of churches. That's big, folks. That's what it's all about. That makes a lasting work out of it, a work that keeps on winning souls, getting souls saved. And some of the conditions we can't imagine. Now, Brother Peter was here with us and graduated our college, and some of you know him a little bit better. He didn't say a lot about it when he was here, about growing up in the headhunting culture. How would you like to wake up every morning and say, well, I may lose my head today? We lose our heads in a different sense in America, don't we? And then the other thing is, and I believe you said it the other night, Brother Peter, it was almost like a passing into manhood that you had to take somebody's head. That's just a culture we can't hardly relate to. But think about it. It's not that way now. Romans 1:16 says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That changed the whole country. The word of God changes the whole country, changes the culture, changes the values that people hold. And so when we talk about sending the word of God around the world, it's not just a little thing, it's a big thing. And these men over there being raised in these areas know what it's about. I like the fact that they were led to the Lord in most cases by a Baptist missionary or a Baptist pastor. And God's done that from the first church in Jerusalem on. Continued to establish churches around the world, and one church to another church. And we believe in that very strong. We teach that here in our Bible college. And we live in a day and time in America where people just grab a building or grab a sign and hang it up and call it a church, but it's not necessarily a church. But what we're doing here and seeing done through sending the Word of God around the world is God is still in the business of starting and establishing His churches. And they're still getting the same results that they got in the book of Acts. And it's tremendous. Now, they got their own personal struggles and burdens. The brother from Kenya there said he was the tallest one in his family. he's talking about his wife could conceive but not carry. Well, we've seen our own problems over here with that sort of thing. I could tell several stories. I'll tell you a short one. Maybe I can shorten it up. But we had right here in our church a couple had been married, young couple been married several years. And they were getting to where they were grieving because they couldn't have a child. And, I shouldn't say this. Some of you will be wanting to do this. I got an age limit on it, so you better be careful. They came to me and said, would you pray for us to have a baby? Will you anoint us with oil and pray for us, like in the book of James, to have a baby? Well, I never had done that before. I'd prayed for cancer. I'd prayed for all the different things that we have done at times. And I thought, Lord, is this all right? They were a good couple. They love the Lord. And so I did. I had them come in. I anointed the wife with oil. And I'm not joking, folks. Within a few months, she was getting big. She was pregnant. Amen. And had a nice baby. And next thing I knew, she was getting big again. That happened about three times. They sent me a message, please call it off. That's the truth. That's the truth. Please stop this thing. We can't afford anymore. Now you say coincidence. Maybe so. I don't know. But that's God's truth. And some of you remember who I'm probably talking about. They moved off a long, long time ago. I don't know how many they got now. But brother, we need to get the church praying for your wife there and for that situation, because that is a big deal. It was a big deal to my wife and I, because our son come along very, very late and very, very, some doctors saying it couldn't happen, but the doctors don't know everything, folks. A lot of them are good men and doing their best, but God's still in charge. He's still in charge, and we have to recognize that. I appreciate these men sharing with us. Now, they'll be back tonight, and maybe some more join them. I know Brother Knickerbocker's supposed to come tonight also. And when we take up our faith missions goal, it's so important. The difference in making our goal is the difference in keeping this kind of thing going. If you could be in my office and open the mail that I open, get the phone calls that I get, so many missionaries willing to go, needing help on the field. And my heart goes out to every one of them. Most of them are good. They wouldn't be calling my church because they know what we stand for. They wouldn't be calling expecting any help at all if they were liberals and didn't believe the Word of God. So I have a lot of good letters, and I have a lot of good phone calls that come in. Truthfully, I would love to help them all. One of my standard answers, because I have to say no, I have to say no so much. One of my standard answers is, our mission goal didn't go any higher last year. Now, we have gone a little higher here in the last 2 or 3 years, but we're not just talking a small amount. I really think we have a great giving church, and people that give sacrificially, people that tithe, and more than tithe, they give to faith missions, they give by faith, and I praise God for that. But the only way we can keep on increasing the servants, the laborers out there in the harvest, is to continue increasing the income. That's what it takes. So pray over your giving to faith missions. Ask God if I can give a little more. Now, I joked with you last week that I'm giving more this year. I'm taking the next 3 haircuts I would have had, and I'm putting it in missions. Maybe 4. It's been a week. I can't tell it grown at all. Been thinking about going to Walmart and getting some of that fast growth stuff that you rub on the plants. All right, for you that don't know, I accidentally got my hair cut off. I went to a strange barber shop I'd never been to before because mine was closed for Thanksgiving. And he did not turn me around until he'd done what you see. And I'll tell you where his body is buried sometime, but wasn't much I could do. You sure can't sew it back on. I tell you that. But anyway, if I'd make that sacrifice to give more to missions, I'm joking with you now, but let's all do what we can and everything we can. And when you take and give a dollar, by the time it gets over there, it grows. What can be done with it grows compared to what can be done with it here. I mean, tremendously. And that's true in almost almost every place in the world, that the dollar is still a powerful, above most currency, very, very little currency is up there with the dollar. And so what we could do with it here is one thing. What they can do with it over there is another. And I praise the Lord for the fact that Helps Ministries reaches all these places. And Brother Scotty, of course, got real sick, and God blessed him to get back his strength, and we're so proud of that. But these other men, like Brother Mormon here, that are working and helping out, I'm amazed how they can go into some of the places where, well, it's not Marriott hotels they stay in. It's some rough conditions to go to the mission field sometime, but they still do it. Our own man here, Brother Terry Donahue, goes into some of those circumstances, and they eat what we here might not would want to, and they sleep in some of those conditions. I heard Brother Terry say the other night that God must have been preparing him for it because he was raised in the Bronx, New York City. And he said they used to take the broom handle and poke in the rat holes to push the rats back in. Well, God must have been preparing him, because some of the places he goes now, they eat rats. Literally. And I've asked him, have you ever eaten any rat? And I could tell by his answer he had. In fact, he tried to convince me. He said, well, people would eat squirrels here. That's just tree rats. I didn't buy that argument at all. I think there's a big difference. But anyhow, thank God for Helps Ministries, the men that have done the job and are still doing the job. Brother Mormon and so many of them drive all kind of miles and hours over here. The men this afternoon, we'll feed them lunch over here in one of our buildings. We will open up some of the dormitories down there where they'll have a place to rest this afternoon, and then they'll be back with us tonight. Now, they're not just doing that for Landmark. They're doing that for other churches, quite a few others. That's quite a schedule, and then they're away from their families, and they have the same feelings toward that that you and I would. So I hope you're praying for them. Pray for their personal needs, just like you heard about the wife carrying a baby to term. Pray for their needs. And I'll tell you something else. Some of the culture and conditions that they were raised in, to depart from that and go to Christ and come back so changed and advocating something so different. In many cases, lives are at stake, that sort of thing. And we know around here and in America, we see gang members that get saved and their lives are threatened oftentimes because they try to get out of the gang, that sort of thing. But this is what it's all about. This is where the tire meets the road. This is what it is about. And the good thing is, folks, God is blessing it. I think with all the sin and awfulness in the world today, and we wonder how God can be so long-suffering that he don't drop his judgment, I think this is the reason. The gospel is still getting around the world, and results are coming in from it. And they're having, truthfully, percentage-wise, far better results than we are in America. The people they are speaking to and preaching to and where they're starting churches, they're not gospel-hardened. They've never heard the gospel. That's what makes the difference. Amen? All right, my time is about up here. And